And now we're joined by Hevi Siddiq, who is currently stationed in Kurdistan, providing humanitarian relief and legal support. Hevi, welcome to the Kurdish program on SBS Radio Australia.
Thank you very much for having me.
If you could please begin by giving us a brief background about yourself.
Yes, of course. So my name is Hevi, of course, and I am a Kurdish woman. My parents fled Iraq, I believe it was 1975, because they were persecuted. And at the time when they fled, my mum was pregnant with me, and she thought this process might be quite quick, that once she arrived in Pakistan, we registered with the UNHCR, with United Nations, and we were promised that we were going to leave for a better country in 2 years. However, that process took 10 years of our time. So I was born in Pakistan, and I went to school there. We lived there until we were resettled in Australia in 2000. Having been brought up in a country such as Pakistan, it was quite difficult, and living a life as a refugee, I knew straight away I wanted to study law. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to help those who were in our position. I strongly believe if we did have the legal support back then, we would have been in a different position. However, we had to just rely on United Nations and see when we could be accepted. So I finally came to Australia at the age of 10, and I couldn't speak a word of English, but I had hope, and I said, this country is going to give me what I need to be able to help those in the same position as myself. And I was very, very fortunate to obtain education in Australia, and I became a lawyer. So I'm currently working in the immigration field for 6 years, and I've been working very closely with humanitarian organisations to help those in the same position as I was.
So this is a field that you found yourself in. Where are you at the moment in Kurdistan, and how did you find yourself there, and what is it you're doing in Kurdistan?
So I was working in Australia in the immigration field, and we were representing clients from all over the country. And I really, really wanted to come back home to Kurdistan and help my own people, only because I know they needed a voice, they needed someone who could understand them and have also been in the same position as them. So I reached out to a couple of organisations here offering them my support and just telling them the processes in Australia and how we could facilitate applications for the people here. It was quite hard initially because they fear that you might not deliver what you're promising. However, when I've travelled here for quite a few years now, and being able to build that relationship up and building that trust. And now that I have, I'm working with a couple of humanitarian organisations who pretty much look after refugees, providing them with all sorts of services. And they offered me to come back and assist the Kurdish people from Syria who've just fled. So the people that they have are from Afrin, from Kobani, Amishlo, Halab and Deg. So I've come back now for this reason, to be able to sit with them and assess their claims and see whether I can provide them with any legal assistance to help them come to Australia and resettle in Australia.
And how long have you been doing this, and how long do you anticipate you'll continue doing this work?
I used to be working for a firm, and it's quite hard because when you work for a firm, you have to stick with what the firm wants you to do. But I've branched out and I'm working on my own now, so I've got that flexibility to give them that time they need, because you can't rush this process. You need to be able to be available to them. So if they need you, you are there. So at the moment, I believe I might be here for another 3 months based on the numbers of people here. So currently, I've got 250 families I'm looking after. But that's families. Individually, it's 1,250 people. So I'm estimating it's going to be between 3 to 4 months to be able to facilitate this for them.
And over this process, could you talk us a bit more about what actually is involved? So you'll be helping out with migration services for these people that are in these conditions that you've spoken about. Is there any other services going on as part of this organisation that you're representing?
So I came here specifically for refugee work and visa applications. But upon my arrival, what they do is they provide, they distribute food, toiletries, medication, and they also offer psychological support for those who are suffering from a mental illness, having fled from their countries, and some of them have lost a lot of family members. So we've got orphans also. So there's psychologists who are helping with that. And at the moment, we're in the process of requesting to build a school for the children. Our application hasn't quite been approved yet. We've lodged an application through a Spanish organisation. The organisation's name is Ingrados, and they have been fantastic so far in providing food, toiletries, medication, and also social workers to us. And obviously, and then I come into the legal part of this. We really, really need a school. What's going on at the moment, there's two different groups. There's groups who UN supports them and they'll provide them with accommodation in camps. And then there's groups who are unable to get accommodation because the camps are so full at the moment. So they're just being, either they're on the streets or they're in schools or they're being looked after by the locals. So those are the ones we are quite concerned about and we're helping them. Now, the work I do, it's two different fields. One is where I just help the human rights organisations here and provide them with my services. And this is for the families who have been registered with the United Nations and have been accepted as refugees in the country. The second one is for the country in itself, for all the Kurdish people here who do want to come to Australia, either looking for a better opportunity or to be reunited with their own family members. We also look after them. So what we could do is we would sit with them and assess them and advise them of the current requirements, the legislation of Australia when it deals with visa applications, and see if they meet the requirements for any of the visa subclasses. And if they do, then we will facilitate it from there.
So it sounds like there's quite a lot happening over there. And for the services you've been engaged for, could you please tell us a bit more about who has engaged you? Like, what's the organisation called and what's their sort of mantra?
The organisation who's engaged my services, they're called Yom Al-Hurriya Organisation for Human Rights. So they're a non-for-profit organisation. It's an NGO which was registered first in Iraq in 2011 in Baghdad, and then they registered with the Kurdish government in 2012, and they've been doing human rights work since 2012 up until today. And they work with the United Nations directly. They work with a couple of Italian organisations. So it's unfortunate we don't have any Australian organisations assisting back home here in Kurdistan. The organisations I've dealt with here have been Spanish and Italian, and I'm really reaching out to see if we can get more support from Australia to help our Kurdish people here who really need it. They deal with the disabled, so we've provided them with wheelchairs, clothing for the orphans in the winter months, and the same thing again with food, psychological support.
And you've mentioned that there's very little exposure in Australia. Is the work that you're doing in intended to increase the exposure to Australia to get more support, I guess?
I would love to. That wasn't my intention when I came here, but when since I've arrived, I've seen that there isn't much support here. It's just never enough because every day these numbers are increasing. Every day there's more families who are fleeing their home and they've got nowhere to go to. It's not like they could just get on a flight and come to Australia and we will look after them there. So they're coming to neighbouring countries, and Iraq seems to be the first one. They're coming to the Kurdish region, and if there's not enough support for them here, they're in very, very difficult positions. Seeing it back home on the TV, you think, okay, you know, they're suffering, but being here in the mix of it, you actually see how hard the life is. And whoever wants to assist these people, you know, I can put them in the right contact, the right direction to speak to these organisations directly and see what services they can offer them.
I think that's fantastic. There's always going to be a lot of people that want to get involved. Obviously, the work that you're doing and the work that's happening over there speaks out and resonates to a lot of us here, so, sharing a similar background story. Now, where can we source further information on all of this?
You don't have to be a professional to come here. You don't have to be a lawyer or a psychologist or a doctor. You can even just be a volunteer who's going to come and help distribute, because once we get the food coming, we get the toiletries, the medication, there's a lot of people here we need to just help out. So if you are a professional, you could even help in that way. This is for anyone. Whoever wants to assist, there is work. So speaking with the president directly, speaking with United Nations, we've got some people you could speak with them and see what available options are, depending on what type of work or what type of help you're willing to offer. You might not be able to, if you've got commitments back home, you might not be able to travel here, but you could send clothing, for example, or you could send food, or you could send money for them, or you could provide support in Australia by being a sponsor. So once I do these applications, all these people need Australian sponsors by law. I'm in the process of asking the Kurdish community there who is willing to sponsor these people. The sponsorship requirements are that you have to be an Australian permanent resident or a citizen and be able to pick them up from the airport, bring them home, register them with services such as Medicare, with Centrelink. So if you're not able to come here and provide support here, you can do it from back home because these people do need sponsors in Australia.
And I think there's going to be a lot of people that want to insist in the manner that you've just highlighted. These people, if they were wanting to find out more information about this, is there a website or a location they could get all of this from?
Unfortunately, in terms of website, they're not quite up to date with websites. I've definitely highlighted that they need to. If they need more support, they need to get online because people need to have more information. Up to the moment, it's just by telephone where they speak to them and by in person. So a lot of people, we've had a group of Italians who've come down who said, we want to help it, we want to see what you're doing first. So we've taken them through the camps, we've introduced them to all the people that we're dealing with, and then they've offered their services. So it's quite hard if you can't come here physically to see the work. I'm hoping that a website can go up quite soon because once the word gets out, obviously it would be more helpful for the individuals here. But we're from Australia, so we're a bit far. But countries from Europe, it's much easier for them to travel and come here and meet the president of this organisation, meet the locals, meet the refugees and just hear their stories. And once you sit with them and you hear what they've had to go through, you want to just leave your job, you want to leave everything and just come here and give them all you have.
I think that's going to be the common response to all of this, and we'll definitely be sourcing Heavy's information if any of our listeners wants to get involved. Heavy, is there anything else you'd like to raise with us with respect to the work you're doing at the moment?
We need support for the Kurdish people. We've got a lot and a lot of families here who don't have that support. United Nations is doing the best they can. However, it's just not enough for the numbers that are coming into Kurdistan. And at the moment, with the current situation here, with the referendum and the Iraqi government, it's a bit of a mess in the country. So if we can all get together as a community and help these individuals, like I said, Australian sponsors would be another way. There's a program the Department of Immigration is working on at the moment. It's called the Pilot Program. So this program, you sponsor refugees to come to Australia. However, upon my return to Australia, I'm planning to have a meeting with the department, with our community leaders. So if you are in a position to come join us while we have this meeting, to require the department to give us guaranteed positions in this pilot program. So this program, if they give us guaranteed positions, then we will have a number, let's say they'll give us 10 guaranteed positions. And every year, there will be 10 families which we can bring over guaranteed. And that will be depending on who their sponsors will be. So if you are in Australia and you want to help, you can come along to this meeting and express our interest and express that we want to help our own people, and the Kurdish people in Australia need a voice and we need the government to support us in this. So this is one thing I would love for people back home to join me on when we do have this meeting, because a lot of the other countries are doing the same. We've got Egyptians who've got their own caseworker. We've got people from Syria, so not the Kurdish people, the Syrian people. They've got their own representation in Australia and the department looks after them and gives them a certain amount of applications. We want to do the same thing for our Kurdish people because we are being persecuted. This is everyone's turned a blind eye to this. And we need awareness. So if people are aware of what is happening in the country and they can offer their support, even if it is they can't do anything but say, look, once the person comes here, I'm more than happy to go pick them up from the airport. I'm more than happy to introduce them to services like Medicare. That is all. Anything you can give them, we'll be more than happy to take.
Heavy, thank you so much for taking the time of day out to speak to us about all the work you're doing there. Wish you the best of luck and continued success in all your endeavours.
Thank you very much for having me. Really, really appreciate talking to you.